Lehrer on WNYC, and now we conclude our series for the month of June on the rules of getting around in New York City and vicinity. Over the last 3 weeks, we've been trying to agree on some of the unwritten code of conduct for how we should all behave underground and on the ground, and now it's time to talk about in the air. And joining us once again is our unwritten rules guru, Billy Cohen, from Time Out New York. Billy, welcome back to the show. And it's hard to believe we're already in our last week of this series.
I know, especially because people have so much to say on all these topics. It could go on for weeks.
I guess so. And, oh, it's gone on for hours and hours after each show with people continuing to post. And we will follow up on this and kind of try to congeal them into our listeners' top 10 rules for being on the subway, for getting along if you're a pedestrian or a bicyclist or a driver, or today when you're in the act of flying. Now, one of the cardinal rules of this series for us has been that we don't want it to be a total whine fest. You know, people love to just whine about air travel, that's for sure. In fact, on The Tonight Show with Conan O'Brien this week, comedian Louis C.K. was talking about this very thing.
Flying is the worst one because people come back from flights and they tell you their story. And it's like a horror story. Right. They're like, it was the worst day of my life. First of all, we didn't board for 20 minutes. Right. And then we get on the plane and they made us sit there on the runway for 40 minutes. We had to sit there. Oh, really? What happened next? Did you fly through the air incredibly like a bird? Did you partake in the miracle of human flight? Everybody on every plane should just constantly be going, oh, my God! Wow!
Yes!
You're flying. You're sitting in a chair in the sky.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So just a little perspective, listeners. wasn't that great, Billy?
That was hilarious.
Louis C.K. on The Tonight Show. Keep this in mind. When you call in with your rules for flying, you are indeed sitting in a chair in the sky. That said, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or post to our comments page. Getting to the airport, being in the airport, getting on the plane, being in the plane, deplaning, the air train. It's all fair game here. Billy, let's see. Any cardinal rules of air travel that you try to adhere to?
Well, I guess maybe we should start off this talk with a positive. So we do get so many people complaining,
sure,
and air travel has so many negatives.
Good.
I'm quite short. I'm under 5 feet, and I often can't reach the overhead compartments to put my bag up there. And I'd say nine times out of ten that I travel, someone, a stranger, will help me put my bag up. And that's just nice.
That is nice. Well, there you go.
People are looking out for each other.
It's so nice that we can now go to Juan in Manhattan, who no doubt is going to complain about something. Hi, Juan.
Hi. How are you?
Good. What you got?
Well, I have a question. What do you do when the announcement has been made and the person sitting next to you refuses to shut off the iPhone that he's using? Do you call the attendant or do you just look the other way? I'm not sure what to do about it.
Oh, or any electronic device, you mean, because it could be dangerous and interfere with the miracle of human flight?
Many people refuse to power them off, and they keep using them until, like, the very last minute.
Juan, it's a great question, and people could be afraid. I think we've all seen this, right? The flight attendant says, well, we ask that you turn off cell phones, all electronic devices during the time that we're actually taking off. And no one ever knows. My producer, Jody, just piped in my ear. She says, I don't believe those things really interfere with the engines.
I have the same doubt as well, but I don't really want to take the chance. So I'd probably call the flight attendant, you know, and ask if it was all right. Maybe they could voice your concern for you.
Right. And maybe somebody will know. That'll be a good one for a follow-up segment tomorrow. Or if anybody in the airline industry is listening right now, our lines are full, but post to our webpage at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Tell us the real skinny there, okay? Do iPods, iPhones, laptops actually interfere with any of the controls in the airplane? Mary, you're on WNYC. Hi, Mary.
Hi.
What you got?
I have been on an airplane, and three times this has happened to me. I start to smell a really weird, like, fume.
Uh-oh.
And I look around, and a woman is painting her fingernails while sitting on the plane.
This is the same one we got about the subway two
really?
Weeks ago.
But how can you, like, the subway kind of moves. I would think that would be difficult to paint your nails.
Oh, that was cutting their nails.
But yeah, someone did complain about nail polish. And I agree. I think if you're on an airplane, the odors and aromas are trapped. So it seems like even more of a courtesy not to do any of that.
And I have one other comment. I was, this was probably a year ago, and there was a child, and he was very, very unhappy to be on this plane, and he was unhappy for a very long time. And the flight attendant, and the parents were actually not really equipped to deal with it, and the flight attendant went over and started talking to him and playing with him, and it was so much over and above and beyond what she was expected to do. And everyone else on the plane just wanted to hug her because that kid was driving everybody crazy.
Oh, I thought you said everybody else on the plane is waiting for their soda.
They've been waiting a long time.
And you know, you got to be careful with that, painting your nails on the plane. Just one little bit of turbulence and you'll be painting your knuckles.
I said, could you please put that away? I said, we're breathing the same air here. That's got to be against the rules. And the flight attendants never said anything.
Were they at least nice about it when you asked?
Oh, yeah. They put it away right away. All I think they knew they really shouldn't be doing that, but we're going to do it as long as, you know, they could get away with it.
Thanks for your call, Mary. And about that kid, Billy, you emailed us some possible cardinal rules here, and one of them was no screaming babies.
I don't know how you enforce it, though. Nobody likes when there's one on their plane, but what can you do? The stewardess who went above and beyond, that's really wonderful, but I haven't seen that often.
Yeah, and so actually somebody wrote on our comments page, keep your kid entertained. So that's good.
Yeah.
Right? It's a solution, but it puts it on the parents. It's not like, oh, well, he's 6 months old. What do you expect? Ha ha, it's so cute anyway.
Right, which is often what happens.
Daniel writes, always fly with a camera and digital voice recorder. You never know when you'll find yourself sitting next to an AWOL politician and need to capture photographic evidence and conduct a quick interview about the travel plans. Maria.
Always thinking. I like that.
Aaron in Bushwick, you're on WNYC. Hi, Aaron.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What do you got?
So, my major issue that I always have, I'm pretty big and I get the back of the seat and the face, etc. But my big issue is with center seat elbow etiquette. If you're sitting next to the window, you got one armrest, it's all yours, you got a window.
But which
one?
Which arm? If you're sitting in the middle, which armrest is yours?
Both yours.
Oh, is that the rule?
Oh, absolutely. Okay, Brian, so look, you're sitting in the window, you got one armrest that's definitely yours, you own it, plus you got a window. If you're sitting in the aisle, you got one armrest that's definitely yours, plus you got the aisle. You can stick your foot there sometimes, etc.
In the center seat, what else do you have?
What else you got?
Right, you're suffering for everyone else, so you deserve both armrests.
Yeah, you know, small things.
You've got two shoulders to lean on. Aaron, thank you very much. I buy it. I buy it. Do you buy it, Billy?
I buy that, yeah. I think nobody wants the center seat, so, you know, if you're taking the bullet on that one, you deserve both armrests.
Yeah, you also wrote, was this part of your being short thing? Remember the imaginary line you drew in the middle of the back seat on childhood road trips with your sibling? Imagine there's one on the plane, too. Keep your elbows and your stuff in your own small area. So it really relates to Aaron.
Yeah, definitely people need to keep those boundaries up. We've all been in situations where someone's their stuff, their computer, their arms, their coats have fallen over to your side. And there's no parent to complain to.
Airline etiquette. Amanda in Port Jefferson has one. Hi, Amanda. You have a story, huh?
Yeah, I was on a flight with my brother and my family, and my brother got onto the plane as he was boarding, and there was everybody in the first, like, 15 rows were seated, and he goes right up to the flight attendant in front of everybody and asks her if the plane is going to crash. And everybody looked a little bit horrified and panicked, and he just kept asking, like, are you sure we're not going to go down, and are you sure that everything's okay? And she kept asking him, why would you say that? Why would you ask that question? And it was pretty mortifying to have to be associated with him, and he did it on the way there, and on the way back, he asked again.
Why?
Because he just is, like, the king of making awkward and inappropriate statements. But we asked him to please not do it on the way home because it, you know, it makes people nervous on a plane to talk about crashing, or I think that goes along with, like, referring to bombs and things like that. And he just thought it was funny, so he did it again.
Oh, he did it. Oh, so he's like being Ali G here.
It was a little sense of humor. Oh, my goodness.
It was funny for him, but it wasn't funny for, like, the 50 people that heard it that are now thinking, like, why is this guy getting on a plane asking about crashing?
Great.
I think you need to slip some Xanax into his breakfast.
I'm never flying with him again.
Amanda, thank you very much. And Caroline in Brooklyn probably would not have been happy with Amanda's brother. Right, Caroline?
That's right.
And?
I am terribly afraid of flying. And
me
I
too.
Actually like annoyances on the plane, you know, people crowding outside the bathroom or children running up and down the aisles, because I find that my irritation actually distracts me from my fear.
Oh, that's interesting. Because it just becomes a little more like real life.
Yeah. It does. You know, when it's a stone cold silent plane and nobody's talking or chattering or listening to loud music or anything, I feel like I can hear every turn of the engine.
I like that, Caroline. I might try to instigate some trouble on my next flight to keep myself distracted.
Caroline,
well, I'd fly with you.
About your nervousness, do you own a car?
I do.
Do you know that you're much more likely to get killed driving around the corner to the grocery store than you are on any flight anywhere?
Caroline, are you rolling your eyes like I am? See, Brian, when it's an irrational fear, a rational explanation doesn't make the fear go away.
I do. I realize it's totally irrational, but not for nothing. I only drive a Volvo, which I feel like is the safest car I could possibly take.
Except for the pickup truck.
That's true.
Probably going to go by next week after this conversation. Caroline, thank you. JP from the Garden State has a solution to the kids' problem. JP writes, unless it's for emergency medical reasons or to see rapidly dying relatives, leave your infant at home. You know what happens, though? People have their babies, and they go, oh, look, my baby's so beautiful. I have to show up to my cousin in North Carolina, my aunt in California.
And then, of course, if you don't have the babies on the plane, you won't have that annoying distraction to help those of us who are afraid. Because there's a plus and minus to it.
Don in Manhattan, what you got? Hi, Don.
Hey, Brian. You know, flying a few times a month myself, it seems like people that get on a plane, you know, anyone get on the plane if you have an ID, a picture ID. But, you know, just like getting on the road with a car, you should be able to, you should have to pass some kind of a test to get on the plane, show that you're considerate, show that you're not going to storm up the aisle when the plane lands and grab your luggage before the, you know, fasten seatbelt sign is off. That you're willing to listen to a pilot, all these things, you know,
certified etiquette training.
Certified etiquette training for people getting on a plane.
How about for the subway? Should we do that for the subway?
Well, ideally, yes, but at least you're not as trapped, you know, on a five-hour flight when you're on a subway car.
Don, thank you very much. Marcy in Westchester, what you got? Hi, Marcy.
Hi. Okay, mine goes back to two calls, one about boundaries and one about smell. So you can keep your elbows in your seat, but you can't keep your smell in your seat. And what do you do if someone has really, really bad body odor and is sitting next to you?
I don't know what the answer to that
right?
is. Maybe a shower should be part of the prerequisite that
right.
Don was talking about.
It's really bad.
What about perfume? I find many more people with intrusive perfume than with body odor in the world.
Well, that was
actually
what I said to the person who took my call, that it was a positive and a negative, that it can go either way. Right.
Okay, Marcy, thank you. My producer Megan says that's a follow-up poll. Are there more people with body odor or more people with overly strong perfume? What do you think about that, Billy?
Probably perfume. I'm very sensitive to that as well.
It's bad in elevators.
Yeah, bad in elevators and the subway and, you know, and anywhere. But, yeah, I would probably vote for it's more over perfuming than body odor.
And Kimberly on our page has some tips. When walking down the airplane aisle, put your hands up on the overhead compartments to keep your balance, not the headrests. If you watch, you will see flight attendants do this. She doesn't want your germs on her headrest.
She probably also doesn't want you to trip and fall onto the person sitting there.
Yeah, also that, I guess, or touching her hair. So this actually brings us to the end of our three-part series on the rules, the unwritten rules, the code of conduct for traveling underground, on the ground, and now in the air. Billy Cohen from Time Out New York, this has been really fun.
It has been, though. I don't know if we've solved anything.
Well, you know, we've caused a lot of people to think about one or two things that maybe they do or others do, and to have a little bit of fun, as we said. And, you know, we'll follow up, and maybe we'll have a vote. If we put this on our website, we can have people vote for the 10 most important Brian Lehrer Show community rules of etiquette for getting around. What do you think?
I like that.
All right. Talk to you then.
Bye.
Billy Cohen from Time Out New York, Brian Lehrer on WNYC.